This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With more than 2 million downloads, this is your number one source for true crime coverage in America. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers Podcast, Murder in the Morning.
Robert Tellis. Yeah, this is a lovely case. It's a case that, I don't know. I know there's no such thing quite as an open and shut case, but holy shit, this... I don't know how he's going to convince anybody of his innocence. 8 witnesses provided crucial testimony on the 4th day of the murder trial of the former Clark County public administrator, Robert Tellis, who stands accused of killing Las Vegas Review-Journal investigative reporter Jeff Gurman. The trial, which was captured widespread attention, is centered on allegations that Tellis murdered Gurman in response to a series of articles the journalist wrote about his conduct and internal turmoil within the county office. During the day's proceedings, former Metropolitan Police Department Detective Cliff Mogg provided critical evidence connecting Tellis to the crime scene. Mogg testified about his analysis of surveillance footage that captured a maroon Yukon Denali identified as the suspect's vehicle near Gurman's home. He noted a distinctive feature of the vehicle, a rear lift gate, which the license plate appeared dark on one image, but displayed a white spot in another, matching the specialty plate on Tellis's vehicle. When Tellis...
And that's not all, folks.
And that's not all, folks. It's just like, I've been saying this in interviews today. It's like he watched some sort of a crime show of how somebody got away with something and did the exact opposite.
Like, that's exactly it. It's everything is just, he did what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He didn't wear camouflage and dark colors. I mean, you see in every Ocean's 11 or 12 or whatever they're on now,
yeah,
they're all wearing dark clothes. He's like, no, blaze orange, baby, and a sombrero.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He should have like had like an accordion or something and he was playing while he was murdering him.
Handing out candy to any kid who came by. I mean, he may as well have done that, you know?
Oh, my God. When Tellis's defense attorney, Robert Draskovich, questioned Moog's conclusions, the detective confidently responded, I was present for the execution of a search warrant at Mr. Tellis's residence, with several items of evidence were recovered that absolutely confirmed my belief that Mr. Tellis's vehicle was the one used in the commission of Jeffrey Gurman's murder. Further testimony came from real estate agent Zachary Schilling, who had worked with Tellis in the public administrator's office. Schilling testified that he recognized the suspect in the surveillance footage based on the individual's walk. There is a very distinctive walk to this individual. Shoes.
Oh, there is. He almost drags a leg, kinda.
Yeah. This guy is just fucking weird. And the vehicle seen driving away from the crime scene. Boy, that really looks like somebody I know, Schilling recalled, thinking when he first saw the footage. When asked by Chief Deputy District Attorney Christopher Hammer who he had believed the suspect was, Schilling answered, I was thinking of Mr. Tellis. Schilling also identified the suspect's shoes as the cheap Nikes he always wore, a detail that further solidified his recognition. He mentioned discussing the footage with his colleague, Kristen Rifle, who also testified that they both agreed that the person in the footage appeared to be Mr. Tellis. Here we go.
Okay, so bottom line is, at first, you see through the news, it's just kind of reporting what happened. It was a fairly big story. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Okay. At least locally, it's a big story. And then you mentioned something else. You said that the police released what?
The police released photos of who they suspected perhaps might be the person responsible for.
Do you remember kind of generally like what the outfit was? What do you remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what do you remember?
It was a sombrero, a flame construction vest, I think long sleeve shirt. The shoes were some Nikes.
Okay.
The Nikes like you find like at Marshalls or Ross.
Okay. So you mentioned those Nikes. So when you see that, those images first released of the suspect walking around, does that catch your attention?
Yes. Yes,
why?
It does. With the way that, I mean, just in the photos itself, it just, and the likeliness of the photos and of Mr. Tellis, we're really, really close.
Is it just photos, or is there a video that you're seeing this person walk? In the videos released by the police. Did you see the videos too?
Yes.
So you see this suspect walking. What are you thinking at that point?
That was on a Friday.
Okay.
And I'm like, boy, that really, boy, that really looks like somebody I know.
Okay, and who is the person you're thinking of?
I was thinking of Mr. Tellis.
Okay, was there anything else aside from the walk that caught your attention? When you looked at the videos of that person.
The gait and you know, Mr. Tellis would always wear a certain kind of Nike that was very unique to me.
Okay,
maybe I'm a little bit of a fashionista, but like the Nikes that you would find like at Marshalls or Ross, where they replaced the leather with like a plastic almost and the hard plastic. It just, they're cheap Nikes you always wore. I don't know.
So when you saw the video, the guys you described in the sombrero and the construction and the orange construction outfit, you thought the shoes reminded you of the shoes that Robert Tellis wore.
Yes.
Okay.
It just came down my spine, Schilling said in court, describing his realization that the vehicle in the footage matched Tellis's car. I didn't want to believe it, but the facts are the facts. That was Rob Tellis's car.
Monday, the Reno Gazette released photos of who, again, they believed was responsible for Mr. Garriman's death's car.
Okay, car. What is it about the car that caught your attention?
That it was Rob Tellis's car, maroon, Tahoe, Denali, whatever, older version, silver rims.
Had you ever seen Mr. Tellis drive this maroon?
Absolutely.
When? Where?
Well, Robert Tellis and I live close to each other. So,
in what part of town?
I live in Summerlin Center, and he lives in Coley Ranch.
Okay. So, I didn't mean to cut you off. Tell us what you were going to say.
Well, in fact, is there was one instance where Robert Tellis and I both went and go to the same water store on Sahara in Fort Apache.
Okay.
And we were in the store together. We walked out kind of together. He loaded his water into the back of a maroon Denali Tahoe, whatever it is, maroon with silver rims.
Okay.
Which is when the pictures came up from the Reno Gazette, I called Christy and I was like, and there's like just came down my spine. I was like, holy crap! I didn't want to believe it, but the facts are the facts that was Rob Tellis's car.
The day's testimony also included harrowing details from Stephanie Yagi, a medical examiner with the Clark County Coroner's Office. As the autopsy photos were displayed in court, Tellis appeared to grimace, a reaction that did not go unnoticed by those in attendance. Let's take a listen to that.
Who are we looking at here?
So this is a facial identification photograph of the decedent, Mr. German.
Okay. I think it's pronounced Garriman, but that's
okay.
It's okay. How old was Mr. Garriman?
I don't recall.
Would it help refresh your recollection to see a copy of your autopsy report?
Yes.
Okay. Referring to page one, counsel.
He's a weird guy, the way he expresses himself. He's very, I almost want to say over the top with his, why is that? I was wondering earlier, and I started to think more about it with his facial reactions to everything. What it reads to me as is someone who doesn't have normal human reactions to people. or really any reactions to people. I think he's kind of indifferent to a lot of things. It's about him. But he's learned how to try and fit in by mimicking other people's reactions. And by doing so, it's overacting, basically.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's like, oh, everybody's watching me. I want to make sure I have the exact appropriate reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't feel very human. It doesn't feel very natural.
No.
He's very demonstrative in an over-exaggerated kind of childish way.
Yes. It's like if he was doing a high school play, the director would say, tone it down a little bit because this doesn't look real. Yagi described the 13 injuries German sustained during the attack, including 6 stab wounds, 7 incise wounds, and a slash on his throat. She also noted defensive injuries on German's hands, indicating that he may have attempted to fend off the attack.
I want to talk first about his neck. Did you note externally an injury sustained to Mr. Gehrman's neck?
Yes.
What type of wound was it? Where was it on the neck?
There are actually 2 sharp force injuries of the neck, more specifically 2 incised wounds of the anterior and left lateral aspects of the neck.
Okay. Let's take the incised wound to the anterior of the neck. If you could, please explain to the jury, what does the word incised mean?
So an incised wound is a category of sharp force injury, which is an injury created by something with a blade or cutting edge. An incised wound, by definition, is longer on the skin than it is deep within the body. And by contrast, we have stab wounds, which are going to be the opposite. They're going to be deeper into the body than the length on the skin.
So a stab wound essentially could be someone plunging some sharp object into a body versus slicing across.
It could be, yes.
Okay. I want to publish Exhibit 197. What are we looking at here?
So this is the incised wound to the anterior neck previously discussed.
Do you know what the term wound track means?
Yes.
What does it mean?
In my opinion, it is the path that the injury is involving, so specific tissues and or objects that are involved in said wound.
If you could, please explain to us, based on your examination of Mr. Gehrman, tell us about the wound track of this particular incised wound to the anterior of his neck.
So this wound involved obviously the skin and underlying or subcutaneous tissues. It also produced defects in the larynx, which is part of the respiratory tract, and the carotid artery, which is a main artery that supplies blood to the brain.
If you could, please explain to us what sort of damage receiving a wound like this to your larynx could do to a person.
It could make it difficult to breathe.
And through the whole thing, it's like he's grimacing, like, oh, this is so horrible. It's creepy.
Yeah.
There's a creepiness to it. I found this creepy as well. I'm going to try and pull it up here. Robert Tellis's campaign video that he had out when he was running for office. I'm trying to find it here. Hang on. All right, so this is his campaign ad from 2022. He's sitting in his fairly unorganized office wearing a t-shirt, and this is the audio.
Hello, I'm Rob Tellis, and I'm your Clark County Public Administrator. A few years ago, when I started my first term, I found a disturbing situation at the office. Unfortunately, I found that there were cases that weren't being closed and hadn't been closed for years. I also found that checks to families were waiting to go out so long that the checks went stale before the families could get them. Tragically, there were even situations where the family members died before they could receive their own checks. But I'm very happy to say that we've turned that all around under my leadership. My staff and I have increased our customer service levels. We are now closing cases, and we are also making sure that checks get in the hands of families even faster.
He can barely fucking read. He can tell it's off a teleprompter. And I would just think,
and we do it for you.
If you're passionate about something like this, Why would you even need a fucking teleprompter? Couldn't you just rattle this shit off because it's true and it's coming from your heart?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's just really awkward socially and just can't handle being filmed for some reason.
I don't think he can handle like emoting. I don't think he has emotions. I think it's like, it's just not there. Let's keep listening.
I'd like to ask you for your help now. I'd like to ask you to please be sure to vote for me in this year's election. Please be sure to tell your friends and family about it. This is an important race, and I need your help. I'm Rob Tellis, and I'm running for Clark County Public Administrator. Thank you.
His facial expressions don't even like match what he's talking about. He looks like really serious when he's in a happy tone, and then when he's like not, he's looking really happy. It's just, yeah, there's something off with this guy, which would allow, I think, what allowed him to do this.
Yeah, I'm wondering if something is not right with him.
Yeah, I'm sure there isn't. I'm gonna guess some sort of personality disorder here that is just. Yeah, I mean, you feel bad for people like that. I mean, not the ones that murder people, but just life in general, because it's got to be hard to not feel emotions. And if that's just kind of how you're made up, that's a shitty hand to be dealt in life, and to try and then have to learn it from other people, or learn how to react from other people. Because I mean, I don't, that would just be horrible. But again, this is why we see a lot of folks like this that are capable of doing horrible, horrible things.
I'm trying to figure out, is it possible he didn't do this except for the DNA? How do you fabricate the DNA that was found under the victim's fingernails? I mean, and the car and the walk, and
there isn't another option here. I mean, you're going to try and go down this road that he was framed and that there was an investigator that should have taken himself off the case. There's a fucking video of him walking and you can see him murdering the guy.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and all the shit's in his house. It's his sneakers. Obviously people are saying that the idiot didn't even like think to like wear different clothes. The clothes that he picked were the most, like, if you were to go through a closet and go, what's going to get me the most attention here today? He picked those clothes. There's a certain level of extreme narcissism here. If he's thinking that he's just going to get away with this, he's going to go out, wear this stuff, do this horrible crime, and no one's going to be any wiser. Yeah.
Well, and for me, the worst part is the fact that, you know, why didn't you throw the shit away? Throw the clothes away. Take them back home.
Take them and then
like the hat.
And cut
the hat is still in his garage.
And cut it up. Why are you even cutting it up? I mean, that makes it look even more weird that these items are like literally chopped up, like with a paper cutter.
Yeah.
I don't.
None of it makes any sense.
I don't think things are going to work out well for Mr. Tellis. Thankfully, hopefully this is his only victim that has befallen him, but it sounds like he was a hell of an individual to work for as well. So I don't think society is at any loss with Robert Tellis being in prison for the rest of his life.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.